Well, it really is lovely to actually see you all, to actually say hi to you all. And hopefully there'll be plenty more of that to come in the future. I was inspired to talk about relationships. So it's not a very in-depth look at the Bible, probably, this one. But it's such a key principle, relationship. It can be very understated, but what is our belief? It's more than just a belief, it's a relationship with God and a relationship with the rest of his children, all of us. So, we're actually going to quickly look at the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Now, these do come into relationships. Because when I was thinking about what relationship involves, it's friendship, it's love, it's common like or dislike of something. It's where you take an interest in others. And you can experience joy and happiness through it. But you can also feel hurt, anger, maybe leading to a loss of relationship. You can experience jealousy. That might lead to a loss of relationship. But if you apologise, it can lead to a better relationship and you can step on through it. So a human relationship is kind of a mixture of the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. So if, with the fruits of the Spirit, we display love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we ask the Holy Spirit to be in us and reflect these in our relationships, we will have an epic relationship with one another. Unfortunately, we are human. We are not perfect. We can have a lot of the fruits of the Spirit. Dad has an awful lot of patience with me. but we are also subject to the works of the flesh. They're not all of them up there. But some of the things that might tear apart a relationship is, depending on what type of relationship, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery. The following ones are a bit more kind of for various relationships. Hatred, if you kind of get a bit of hatred seed in you and that grows, maybe through an act of unforgiveness, that can ruin your relationship. Obviously, discord, jealousy, envy, fits of rage. If you're selfish, and you're not kind of taking on the interests of the other people, perhaps that can sow discord. And then dissension. So apparently that's a strong disagreement. So I think it's kind of just important to look at that. But the good thing is that we can ask God, we can ask the Holy Spirit into us and ask him to gift us with the fruits of the Spirit. And we can show that to everyone. And by showing that to everyone, we will also be showing God. So some of the key things I may have kind of missed, but I think that the key things for a relationship with people is time, commitment and flexibility. Now, the first two are rather obvious. Flexibility, you kind of have to give a bit. If you've got one strong opinion and the other person has a strong opinion, you might have to meet in the middle. So sometimes it's just being flexible in your life and in your relationship with those people so that you can show forgiveness, so you can show love and kind of overcome obstacles and make that relationship stronger. I wanted to kind of compare it to God. So the key things needed in a successful relationship with God rather than us. First two, the same. We need time and commitment. So we gather here, we spend time together. Do we commit ourselves to following God? Do we take up our Bible and read it? I have not read mine as much as I should be. And then the other thing, you don't need to be flexible with God, because the thing about God is he is all-knowing, He is all powerful. He is God. And he doesn't get it wrong. So we don't need to be flexible with God, because as long as we read his word and know that it is truth, we know where we stand. It's us that goes wrong. But we need to know that it's okay not to understand everything that goes on, because sometimes in life things go wrong. Things go bad in the world that we're like, well, why? Isn't God doing anything about this? We might not understand some of the things in the Bible, because there's some hard stuff in the Bible. And we've got a lot of things that people are saying these days that it's okay to do, which the Bible might not say. And it might lead to confusion. But if we know that it's okay not to understand, God doesn't expect us to, and just put our trust in him, we can have that decent relationship with him. A good, strong relationship with him. So, as a concluding remark to this little section, I kind of thought that God, through his Spirit in us, will help us in our relationships. And this, in turn, reflects him. And I think that's such a key thing to take away from this. I've gone down my list quite far. Oh yes, next slide, Tom. Those of you who don't know, this is my little girl, Nelly. She's a lovely dog. We think she's a collie cross pointer. She's a jolly pain in the backside. I love her to pieces. But she is a great nuisance. But I do. I look at my dog, and sometimes I think that I am Nelly to God. Lovely comparison, isn't it? I'm like my dog. So, yes, Nelly, I love her to pieces, but she is very obstinate and frustrating, pain in the backside. My dad compares the fact that he says that I'm obstinate and he gets it off. She gets it off me. Says we've never had a problem before with male dogs. It's now that we've got a female dog. But she is. She's very much so. But when we spend time together at home, she is the biggest mummy's girl. She's the biggest lap dog ever. She loves to sit on your lap, cuddle you, lick you. We're trying to work that one out. But when we're out, when we go out walking, so in this picture, we're actually up the helm. As you can see, she has got a lead on. She's terrible at coming back. But if I do let her off, she might stay with me for a moment. And might look back to me for a moment and be rather happy, like, yes, I'm with my mum. And then all of a sudden, ooh, what's this smell over here? And she'll go disappearing off. Normally it's for a rabbit. Help us if it's a duck. She loves them. At which point, I might not even exist. And I can shout all I like, and still, she might eventually come back, or I might actually have to retrieve her. And so I think that I can be like that with God. When I am in his house, as it says here, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When I am here, I have no distractions. We're all here for God. When in any place that you happen to be, if you sit there and you've got no distractions, no TV, no dog to distract you, and you've got your Bible, you've taken time to pray, you might be on the phone praying with people, it's a brilliant time to be with God. It's an easy time to be with God when you're in this situation. So yes, my attention is on him. But when I'm let off my lead, living my life, well, I chase my proverbial rabbit. I get tempted by other things. But unlike me, God doesn't exactly shout after me. Because he knows that I need to explore. He allows us to choose him. But he doesn't sit there, do nothing. So he might kind of be stood there kind of waving at you, so that when you look back you see him. He might be encouraging you. It might be something that actually you need to explore. But he will probably have signs up everywhere going, this way when you're ready, go this way. So until I pull my nose out of the grass, stop sniffing everything, stop getting distracted, I can actually take the time to look up and go, oh, God, hi, and actually come running back to him. Now, any of you who may have children, or had children, or dogs, or kind of been around other little kids, when they eventually come to you from the playground, or dog eventually coming back to you, we hope. Well, I don't know about you, but I stoop low, arms spread wide, like, here I am, aren't you coming? You are such a lovely girl. You get excited. God does that for us. He does it for us. Very, very much loves us. So with this bit of scripture, well, I say scripture, I wanted to give an example of the importance of meeting together and lead it back to the Bible to show that our lives does link to the Bible. It's not some old piece of text that is not relevant to life. So we all know the story of Daniel and the lions. Well, Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they would meet and pray and spend that time in prayer together. It's so important God put us here together to feed off one another, to kind of go, perhaps he should encourage you to come along when the other person is feeling a bit more distance from God. We need it. We're not strong enough to do it on our own. And then later on in the Bible, in the New Testament, we have the disciples in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. And these moments when we spend with God, when we truly spend, for me, they're the most rewarding. Which is bizarre, because why don't I do it more often? When I spend that time with God, wherever it may be, whether it's with you, whether it's out when I walk my dog and I have a brilliant prayer time, or if when I kind of go to work, I used to kind of pray on my way to work. I used to always arrive when a bounce in my step. I was always ready. So, yep. And that is the joy of the Lord. You can be down as anything, upset as anything, and you, therefore you're not in a place to be happy. But God blesses us with joy. I can't describe how amazing joy is. So if you're feeling low, come to God, come with other people, and kind of ask him for the joy to feel his love. He will give it to you. It's really important to know that you are loved. You are treasured. And that God loves you. Love is a core to most relationships. It isn't just about hugs and kindness. They're brilliant. Who doesn't love a hug? Kind of have to give air hugs at the moment. But also, we have to look at the fact that sometimes love is firm. I think today we kind of go, oh, God, well, God loves us. It doesn't mind if we do that. God loves us. Is that true love if it's just a mushy, give you everything you want? We've all seen those children where those parents just give them anything they want. And they're spoiled. And we see things where actually they need a bit of discipline in their lives. We need that discipline too. So when we do something wrong, God loves us. When we do something bad, he still loves us. When we do something it's wrong. It might be when we're actually doing nothing when we should. And we can't blame God for our consequences, because we are his children. We're not his pets. We are his children. He's going, okay, there's the world. Make of it what you will. I gift it to you. Treasure it. So our actions have consequences, but we might ask God, well, why aren't you doing anything? We need to take responsibility as a nation, as a world, for our actions and know that actually it's the consequence. So much in the world is wrong. It's full of pain and illness. These are the consequences we as a human race have to answer to. Each of us can make a difference, though, in how we choose to live our lives. And yet again, it's back to the fruits of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. Ask God into us. It makes life a whole lot easier and having everyone around to bounce off. And we can just smile at someone and say, how are you? Hello. I may not know you, but it might be as simple as giving a compliment to someone as they're walking by. You look nice. It might make their day. Unfortunately, people don't know how to accept kindness anymore, because sometimes you say something nice and they're like, what? Why are you being nice to me? What a sad world. But we can just spread God's love. And that is what we can do to balance the consequences. Sometimes we do something wrong, and God will actually act on it. So you may have heard of Moses, kind of a big figure in the Bible. And he goes to get water from a rock. And God says, speak to it. Now, I can't just speak to a rock, because water's not going to come just by speaking to a rock. Bizarre that he thought that, because his stick turned into a snake. He had God on his side, so he decided to whack the rock. He disobeyed God. It may not seem like that big a deal, by whacking the rock rather than talking to it, but God told him that that's all he needed to do. And because of that disobedience, God said, you will not go into the promised land. Consequences. And it's important to remember that we not only need to love God, but revere him. Because otherwise, unfortunately, why would we fully obey him? It's really sad that we don't obey just simply because we love God. Surely that should be enough. But no, we actually need to know that there are consequences for our actions. But God still loves us. He may give us a rap on the knuckles or whatever it is. Dad's had to tell me off many occasions when growing up. But he loves me. He didn't particularly like telling me off, and I got all teary-eyed because of it. But I'm a better person because of it. Because we are human and currently not perfect, we can fall away from God and do wrongs because we do not revere God and recognise that it will damage our relationship with God. It's difficult to kind of think we've got a God who loves us. Why would doing something a bit wrong damage our relationship with God? Because we constantly hear about this gushy love. Gushy love is brilliant. But just remember, actions have consequences. But on a cheerier note, thankfully, we only have to truly say sorry. Really mean it in our heart. If we muck up, we just have to go to him and go, I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry. And we are forgiven. Because of the cross, because of God's love. He loves us so much. So another reason we may feel sorry for in a relationship with God is anger. It doesn't get much talked about kind of our anger with God, potentially. This point is actually what inspired this service. Because I have been quite the grouch to Dad. And he hasn't particularly done anything to deserve it. I don't know if any of you have experienced this with your own children or close friends and family, and they just grump at you. Perhaps like me, you were the grouch. But unfortunately for my dad, he has had to endure this grumpiness, and he does it mainly with full patience and goodness of spirit. I will let you into a secret though, he does sometimes grouch back. This, I imagine, is not only part of human relationships in general, but particularly the relationships between parents and children, and between husband and wife. At some point, you're just going to butt heads. It's, well, in my opinion, it's inevitable. It's our human nature. But, like we're saying, but that's the whole thing of flexibility with us. Yes, we might butt heads eventually, but then you either come to a compromise or say sorry. Sorry might not be in words. I may have just kind of gone up to my dad and given him a hug. But I think that the sorry was loud enough. God is a father. He is my father and he is yours. And it is okay to grump at him once in a while. I know that might seem kind of odd, grump at God, perfect God, but it is okay. And actually, we're going to have our scripture bit here from Job. Dad's going to read that.
Quick bit of background. You probably know the story of Job. He was prospering, and then the devil came and made his life a misery. Job complained. He had a lot to complain about. That really wasn't a problem for God. But just as a little sample of how Job felt, this is what his complaint was. It was being honest, really. I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. You turn on me ruthlessly. With the might of your hand, you attack me. You snatch me up and drive me before the wind. You toss me about in the storm. I know you will bring me down to death, to the place appointed for all the living. Surely no one lays a hand on a broken man when he cries for help in his distress. Have I not wept for those in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? Yet when I hoped for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then came darkness. Now, not all of what Job was saying there about God was actually true. God hadn't turned on him. He hadn't attacked him. But Job was expressing how he honestly felt. And God wants to hear how we honestly feel. But we have to be prepared for a clip round the ear when he replies. There's a lot of chapters of Job saying how he feels, and his three friends, you've heard the phrase Job's comforters, they're saying, Job, you must have done something absolutely disastrously wrong. It's obviously all your fault. And Job's saying, I wouldn't have such a problem if I could think of something that I'd done so bad. And there's chapter after chapter of this conversation between Job and his friends. And eventually, God speaks. And in chapter 40, the Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He's saying Job is arguing with him. Let him who accuses God answer him. Then Job answered the Lord, I'm unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Then the Lord spoke out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. Oh dear, here it comes. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? And so it goes on. We don't have time. God really kind of brings him up short. But at the end of Job, we find God tells Job's three friends that he is angry with them because they haven't spoken the truth, like my servant Job has. That's what God says. And then he says, you better get Job to pray for you.
So, if you know any of Job, it takes up a ridiculous portion of the Bible, it seems. It's a huge book, full of grouching, and them kind of saying, well, we're clueless, you must have done something wrong. It's quite, well, for me, the slog to get through Job. But it's in the Bible for a reason. And part of it is that it's an example of the fact that Job is grouching at God. Because in your life you may experience pain, you may experience things that you do not understand, things that happen in our lives, things which cause much emotional pain, frustration or anger. Sometimes we lash out at the person closest to us. In this case, God. He understands. He understands when you lash out. He understands your pain. He knows everything. And he loves you. He won't condemn us for this. We may even walk away from him for a time, but he will always be there to hold us and welcome us back with open arms, much like the prodigal son. I just wanted to give kind of a little kind of snippet about when I was feeling a little bit low some months back. I don't particularly had, there was a lot of emotional low going on, a lot of tiredness. So I wrote something which involves emotions and kind of the feelings that others may possibly be feeling. So it's only a representation. But it is called The Drowning. It is easy to drown in the torrent of emotions as every wave of worry comes crashing down, a wave of fear that the pandemic has spread, a wave of worry for the people around us and our loved ones, a wave of despair that this year will be the same as the last. When the waves keep crashing over and become the barrier of depression, why fight? Close the curtains, stay in bed. Each day without a breath of air, why not curl up and let the waves continue to crash over us? I am drowning. I cannot fight it, so I just sit and take it. Each tear adding to this watery place. But then I look up. There is light at the surface and a figure. I reach up, dare I hope. The figure reaching down, clasping my hand in his. With a sound of authority comes forth the words, "Be still." And the waves stilled. He stood upon the water, pulled me to him, and embraced me. He carried me to the shore and set me down. He said, "Give your worries to me, and you can walk upon the water." My heart was filled with his love as he spoke with me. Before me lay my despair, fears, and insecurities, but I can rise above them with my hand in his. He is my joy and firm foundation, and he never lets us walk alone. God can pull you out of the depths. Everything might feel like those waves. It's hard to bear everything. At some point we might crack. We might feel like we're 10 foot under those waves. And if anyone has ever been in the water, sometimes when the waves keep crashing down, you actually can't get up. I was actually in that position where I physically could not get up above the waves. And I stuck my hand out knowing that my friends were right there to pull me up. And that is exactly what we can do with God. God, I'm struggling. I'm drowning. God, help me. He will.
Thank you, Sam. Let's pray. Lord, whatever comes against us, may we keep our eyes fixed on you. May we take your hand as you reach out to hold us. Strengthen our faith, Lord, and our trust in you, we pray. Amen. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.